Good to be back with you. Heard y'all sang a lot last week, so that's good. I hope that was enjoyable and informative for you as you sang some hymns together and learned some of the stories behind their composition. Today I noticed, or several weeks ago, I noticed that in September the state of the church is normally presented, and that's good because I've given that before. And of course, the state of the church makes sense to do at this time as our new church year has just started. Our church year coincides in many ways with the school year, as far as at least when it starts. Of course, the church doesn't get a summer break, but one piece of advice, though. If you're going to give the state of the church, be sure to do it before you go on vacation. It's hard to review your notes on the way back on a 10-hour drive with a couple of girls who do not want to be in their car seats any longer. So next time you're asked to give the state of the church, give it the week before you go on vacation, rather than the week after. For those of you who are guests or who may need a refresher, we give this state of the church at this time to reflect a little bit on the past, reflect on where we are as a church, and also where we need to be going. And so in many ways, this state of the church is not a typical sermon. It's not one of those where I will open up the text and move through the text and talk about practical application. We will have several scripture references today, but in many ways we do this state of the church now because, well, you're all here, and we can all hear it now at this time and reflect together on where we are as a church for this state of the church address. Now, you hired me 10 months ago. I haven't been here quite a year, and so in many ways I feel like I'm still getting to know you, and I think you are also still getting to know me a little bit as well. In fact, I'm still generally referred to as the new pastor. So I don't know when that title wears off, but I'll still be your new pastor. That's totally fine by me. But all that being said, I'm still getting to know you, and so I may be able to give a little more next year or the year after as far as looking back on the past and reflecting on the previous year. This year has been so much of a getting to know you kind of year. Some might say it's been my honeymoon with the church, and that's all well and good as well. But I also learned that in my 3 years prior to my arrival, you had a lot of discussions about the identity of First Baptist Church, the makeup of Black Mountain, the identity of our community here in this city. You had a lot of discussions about the desires for the future of this congregation. You reflected on the heritage and past experiences at First Baptist Church, and perhaps some of the greatest challenges of the congregation moving forward. And so, I don't want to rehash a lot of that this morning. In fact, I sort of just finished rehashing it with our Wednesday night Fertile Soil series, which you'll hear a little bit about later on. But we're not going to rehash much of it. I'm guessing, like me, you're ready to see the rubber meet the road. You've had discussions, you've had lofty, important discussions about vision and identity and purpose and our challenges, and those are worthwhile. In fact, we'll constantly be coming back to those as a church. But if you're like me, you're ready to see some practical, tangible ways to really be the church or to do church here at First Baptist Church as we think about our future, as we think about moving forward together. And so today I'd like to use this state of the church to talk to you about some practical ways that you can be engaged in this congregation and add to the vitality of what we're doing here. And so this message is for all of you today. This message is for those of you who have been members for decades, who have in many ways been doing the same thing and involved in many of the same ways over the previous few decades. This is true for you, for those of you who may have just been members a few years or have been a part of this church or attending this church just a few years. And of course, if there are even guests in the room, perhaps you don't ever intend in coming back to this church, maybe you're wanting to learn about this church, this will give you an idea a little bit of where we're headed, where we've been, and where we're going. So your ears may perk up as well as you learn about our church. I want to go back on a term that I just used, though, is that I would like each member of this congregation to be engaged in this church. I want you to be engaged at First Baptist Church. Some of you may be thinking, yeah, I'm involved. I didn't ask for your involvement. I asked for your engagement. One of the works that had a great effect on me as a preacher is Alan Winsman's Growing an Engaged Church. I've talked to some of you about this book, Growing an Engaged Church. This is a very practical book about the state of the church today about the state of the churches across North America. And in many ways, the congregations I have served have found themselves as the subject of this book in a very indirect way. There is a difference between being involved and being engaged in a church, Alan Winsman tells us. Now, Alan Winsman works for Gallup Research, which you've probably heard of, but he's also a Methodist minister, so he's able to use his gifts in research and looking at trends and what's going on in churches. And he's looking at that through a pastor's lens. And so in many ways, he knows your heart. He knows what we're going through. He talks about what involvement in a church is. Many of us here today would say we are involved in this church. In fact, most church members across North America are involved in a church. And so perhaps you are on a membership roll. Perhaps you attend, perhaps frequently, perhaps infrequently. If you are involved in a church, you can point to a local congregation and say, that's my church, or that's where I go, or that is where I participate in some way, shape, or form. And so you have to be involved to start somewhere. You have to be involved. But Alan Winsman talks about how you can be involved in a church, but your heart may not be there either. You may be involved in a church, but your effort isn't there. In fact, he compared them to the words of Jesus to the church at Laodicea. He's saying that you may be involved in a church, but your involvement may be lukewarm. Yeah, you may be there. You may attend worship. You may be involved in a couple of other things, but your heart isn't really there. You don't have the connection that we desire. He then goes on to talk about what it means to be engaged in a church. If you are engaged in a church, you are active and you are doing what you love within the context of the congregation. You're using your gifts in the work of the church. And so it's not, the church isn't just somewhere that you go. It's not just a place you point to and say, that's my church. Being engaged in a church means that you have a strong spiritual, psychological, sociological connection to your home church. Like Paul in Philippians, you are straining forward in this thing called life. You are pressing on towards the goal, and your home church is how you find your meaning and your purpose in doing so. And so being engaged in a church takes on a much bigger meaning than simply being involved. Being an engaged member takes on a much greater meaning than just simply saying, that's my church, or I attend there. So you can be involved in a church, or you can be engaged. And I'm asking each member of First Baptist Church to think about, am I involved in this congregation, or am I truly engaged? According to this study by Gallup Research, there are a lot of involved people out there in the world in churches. There are a lot of people involved in churches. Even as we see the statistics, knowing that two-thirds of churches across North America are in decline, there are still a whole lot of people who are involved in churches. But there are quite a few less who are truly engaged. And so as we look towards the future, we want to be a church of engaged members. We need to be more than just involved. We need to be engaged. And so we're going to take some incremental and practical steps to get there. And I'd like you to consider being a part of those steps. One of the things that Alan Winsman talks about is to set expectations for the members of the church. A few weeks ago at Fertile Soil, I asked some of our participants, what would you say is expected of you as a member of First Baptist Church? And there were crickets. Well, some people had been going to worship for a while. Some people had been perhaps going to Sunday school. Perhaps some people had been giving. But if I said, no, what is expected of each member of the church? Most people eventually said, I don't think we really have any. It's time to change that. It's time to change the notion that we may or may not have expectations as members of First Baptist Church. It's time to change the notion that as a member of First Baptist Church, you can just sort of be as involved as you want to. By the way, you have the freedom to do that. You can be as involved in this church as you want. But if you wish to truly be engaged in the life of this church, and if you wish to see this church move forward and take on new life and find creative new ways to do ministry and mission, then you will commit yourself to meeting some very basic expectations of what it means to be a member of First Baptist Church. Without expectations, how can we find any common goal or functionality? Without expectations, how will we know what to tell potential church members who may be thinking about joining here? And so if someone were looking at First Baptist Church and wondering how they could be a part of it, and they said, how am I a part of First Baptist Church? How will we know what to tell them if we don't have expectations for ourselves? Expectations for church members aren't arbitrary, nor is it a bad word to say that we have expectations for ourselves. These are some baseline, tangible ways to understand membership, and we're going to begin with the scripture in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It reads this, it reads, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their numbers those who were being saved." Churches have often used this passage as a baseline look at what it means to be a church member, at what it means to be a church. Now, there's no easy answer of what a church has looked like since the early days. Sometimes we say, well, the early church did this or the early church did that, and there's probably some truth to that, but we have several different pictures of what the early church looked like, but this may be our earliest glimpse into what a local church was about. In this passage, we see what the early Christians devoted themselves to be a truly functioning and engaged church. And so today, I'd like you to remember four words that we can draw from this passage. Four words that we will be unpacking. Four words that we will be looking at even more in the coming weeks that I would like you to take very seriously. Worship, connect, serve, and give. Worship, connect, serve, and give. We're going to go through each of those briefly, because I believe that from this passage we can draw these basic expectations for what it means to be a functioning member of the local church. Firstly, worship. We expect in our congregations that every member and every church must be in a constant state of awe and reverence of God. And so we must regularly gather to worship as a church body. You can worship wherever you find yourselves. Anytime you are in awe of God, anytime you revere the power of Christ, you are in a state of worship. But it is important for us to gather as a church body. Worship itself is not the local church, but the local church cannot be church without worship. And so the first expectation that we will have for our members is to be regularly engaged in the worship of this church. We will ask you to worship regularly when and where possible, and to participate. In other words, you don't simply come to this place and expect worship to be a spectator sport. When you come into this place, you will sing, and you will pray, and you will read the scripture. You will listen as I give the sermon or anyone else gives the sermon, and you will reflect on those words, not because I came up with them, but because the Spirit is speaking to you. When you come into this place, you will worship in heart, soul, mind, and strength. Being here in this place at this time is something that we expect of our members, if physically possible. Let me take a brief pause and understand that there are some people who work on Sundays. There are some people who physically cannot make it into this space. There are some Sundays where you will be out of town, and that is okay. We're not talking about those times. We're talking about the times that you can be here. In other words, waking up on Sunday morning and saying, you know, I don't really feel like going to church today is not a good excuse. Being here in this place and in this time is important for you, and it is important for the future of our church. At FBC, you are expected to be a regular participant in worship. And now here's the other side of this covenant. The staff and the lay leaders will join with you in creating a moving, well-planned worship experience. We realize that when you come into this place and you expect to worship, you want a decent sermon. We know that when you come into this place and you expect to sing with joy, you want a song that you can sing and not one that you're looking around wondering if anybody else knows the words. We know that you want a song that you can participate in. And so we will seek to choose music and find ways for you to participate fully and not to feel like you're lost. And we also understand that the world around us is changing, and so we don't simply want to do worship the old way, the only way we've ever done it. We want to find new ways to engage people, to connect with people. And so we will find creative ways to worship together. That is our promise as your staff and also for your lay leaders who will be reading scripture and who will be singing and who are taking part in the planning of this service. Number two, of course, is to connect. It is important for every member of the church to feel connected to First Baptist Church. And once again, simply saying that you go to a church is not good enough. You must find some way to connect directly to other believers in the life of this congregation, specifically through small groups. Now, many of you are already connected through a small group. It's a program that we know as Sunday School. And you're setting a wonderful example for what it means to remain connected, to remain committed and connected with a small group of believers, ones that you can check in on, live life together, invite each other to your homes and to eat together and to grow as disciples together. That is so important for the life of a member of a church. But Sunday School, while still effective for many of you in this church, and you will continue to participate in that way, and that's a good thing, is no longer the only option in churches across the North American landscape. It's important that we give other opportunities outside of Sunday morning at 9:45 for small groups of Christians to experience fellowship and discipleship together. We can no longer assume that a one-size-fits-all approach is the only way to connect to church. And so while many of you will continue on Sunday mornings at 9:45 or 10 or 10:15, whenever you get started, some people may find it better to meet on Sunday nights. Some people may find it better to meet every other week for a couple of hours in order to be connected to the church. So these groups that we're going to form, and I want you to be a part of those, if you are not currently engaged in a particular small group or Sunday school class, they may meet at other times. They may look a little different. They may be in homes. They may be in a coffee shop. They may be in a school classroom. They might be in conjunction with another church. We're not sure exactly what they're going to look like, but what we know is we need other opportunities for Christians to become connected and engaged in this church. It may consist of opening a quarterly Sunday school lesson like we already do, but it also may be a group that's like a talent group or an accountability group or a support group, all ways that we can grow as disciples. And here's our end of the bargain as First Baptist Church. We will provide a variety of groups to become engaged in. Once again, they may look a little different than our Sunday morning Sunday school classes, and so if you are not currently engaged in a Sunday school class or a small group, I will find you. And I don't mean that in a threatening sort of way. I want to know, how can we get you connected in a small group? What has not worked for you up to this point that Sunday morning at 9:45 may not work for you, but another night of the week might work for you? Or perhaps you're less interested in opening a Sunday school quarterly and you wish to have instead a book reading with a group of people to grow as disciples. We want to find ways to engage you in small groups in the life of this church. And so once again, we are thankful for and we applaud those of you who are currently committed to and engaged in our Sunday school classes, and we will continue those on for the time being. But for those of you who have not found a way to get plugged in, we're to find new ways for you. We're to find new ways for you to get connected that may not look exactly like Sunday morning, but we want you to be connected, and we expect you to be connected at First Baptist Church. So we will be talking with you, and we will be laying the groundwork for you to become connected. And this church, the leadership and the structure of this church, will commit to finding creative, non-traditional ways for you to be involved. In sum, at First Baptist Church, you are expected to find a deeper connection in this faith community. Number three is serve. At this church, we expect you to be engaged in the missional efforts of this church. One of the things I love about First Baptist Church is that we are a very mission-minded congregation. There is no doubt about that. As earlier, we heard about an offering that you can give to and that I hope you will give to as North Carolina Baptists who are doing important work. And hopefully, in light of these recent storms that have passed through, you are very, very aware of the kind of work that must be done through organizations such as this. But if someone were to ask you, how are you involved through missions at First Baptist Church? I'd like you to be able to give a better answer than, well, I'm just involved in missions. I give to missions. That's okay. You should give to missions and you should be involved. But I want you to find one area that you are passionate about. I want you to find one area that if someone asked you how you were involved directly in being the hands and feet of Christ, you will become excited about what you are getting ready to tell someone about how you are sharing Christ through missions. I want to see everyone in this church serve in an area they are passionate about. Are you passionate about the homeless? Are you passionate about childhood education or health? Are you passionate about racial reconciliation? Are you passionate about combating human trafficking? Are you passionate about senior care? What about disaster relief or rural poverty initiatives? There are countless other real-life issues that I have not mentioned here. But the point is, I want you to find something, some area that you are passionate about. That doesn't mean that you have to stick to one. I'd like you to be involved in as many areas of mission as you can, but I want you to find that one area that your heart is in, that one area that you feel passionate about and you can give of your time, your skills, or your finances to serving in this area. And First Baptist Church will commit to creating opportunities for involvement, or we will work to put you in touch with organizations who may be involved in that area. And so there are several in this church that we are already very committed to, but there may be some areas of ministry and mission that we have not yet touched. There may be a group of folks in this congregation who are passionate about some area that we have not discovered yet, and we may wish to open up a way that you can serve in that area. Finally, give. We want you to give of yourself sacrificially. We want you to give of your time. We want you to give of your skills and your talents. We want you to give of your finances. We want you to give of all of these things to resource the ministry and mission of First Baptist Church. Now, it may seem like the obvious part. Okay, here it comes. Here's where he's asking us to give more. Yeah, I'm asking you to give more. I'm asking you to give more financially if you can. I'm asking you to give more of your time if you can. I'm asking you to give more of your skills and your gifts to the church if you are able. In the next few months, we'll be talking about perhaps some new or creative ways that you can give of these things. We realize that in many ways, we're asking you to serve in ways that we've been doing for a long time. Specifically, ways you can be involved in teams and councils and committees. We know we've been doing those for a while, and so there may be fresh expressions and new ways for you to give. We'll be talking about those in the coming months, but FBC will commit to creating opportunities for you to give. We'll commit to being proper stewards of your gifts, whether it's financial or of your time or of your skills. Worship, connect, serve, and give. These are four tangible ways that you can become engaged in the life of First Baptist Church. Some of you are already there, and you're going to set an example for the rest of us who can perhaps give a little more, who can give more to worship, who can give more to connecting to others through small groups, through serving through missions, or to providing our skills and talents for the work of the church. And as your pastor, I will encourage all of the leaders in this church to make a clear, defined way for you to fulfill these four expectations. Now, let's step back for just a moment. These changes are not huge. You'll notice I didn't call for a huge change in the budget. You'll notice I didn't call for a huge change in our staff layout. You'll notice I didn't call for a huge change in the building. Whatever it may be, these things that we think of as big changes, you'll notice that these are actually fairly incremental. It's fairly incremental to ask for you to be a regular attender of worship, to be connected to a small group, to find something you're passionate about and to serve in that area, and to give of yourself or your time or your talents or your resources. Those are fairly incremental steps, but they're important steps. These are important steps. They're not huge, but they are essential, asking you to attend worship or to be a part of a group or so on and so on. It usually requires no more than a couple of hours a week of your time, and it probably asks for a similar kind of investment that you may give towards your work or community organization that you support outside of these church walls. Quite frankly, these are small incremental changes that we are challenging you with. But it is very possible that down the road we will be needing to make some bigger, more radical changes for the future of our church. I don't know what those may look like. I don't necessarily have all the answers, but I certainly need to be thinking and praying more about what those may mean. I do know that Tom Rayner, who's the CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources, who has done tremendous work in studying churches and the changing landscape of churches across North America today, says of our kind of church, a church that, and here's the elephant in the room, a church that has experienced decline over the years, a church that has seen a lack of new members. Tom Rayner says that it is important for churches such as ours that we will need to make a radical change down the road. And I don't know what that may mean. It may mean the way that we spend our money. It may mean the way that we staff our church. It may be what we do with the building. It may be our basic setup of what we do. I don't know what it's going to be, but I think it may be coming down the road. And so here's what's important. We can't hope to make that big change or those big changes if we can't make small changes towards being a more fruitful, effective congregation. And so here's my challenge to you today. Worship at First Baptist Church. Find a way to connect to this body of believers at First Baptist Church. Find something that you are passionate about, a cause you are passionate about, an offering, a justice-oriented ministry, whatever it may be, and become connected to it and serve in that area. And prayerfully consider ways that you can give of yourself and your resources towards the work of this church. The changes may be small, but I can promise you that, like the early church, committing ourselves to these basic expectations of what it means to live as the body of Christ will produce noticeable and very important results in the life of this congregation, but I also believe in the life of this city, which is why we are here. Let's pray together.